What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Bro Ceremony. I am your host, Luke Mars, and contrary to popular belief, this is, in fact, a Bachelorette podcast, and we have got quite the episode for you today. Before we get started, as always, just a couple of announcements. First off, be sure to hit that follow, like, subscribe button from wherever you're listening from, whether it's Spotify, whether it's iTunes, whether it's iHeartRadio. I need to get my outlets right. I want to say iHeartMedia, but it's iHeartRadio. Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google, and Amazon. We're on everywhere. Give us a like, a follow, a subscribe, a shout out. If you felt so inclined to leave a comment to say how much you are just giddy about the Bro Ceremony, I would be tickled pink. But yeah, we got quite the show for you today. And I'm just gonna get right into it. You know, it's kind of late for me. It's like 11:30. We'll see how long this goes. I'm gonna try and get through this stuff. Just get to the, you know, the meaty goodness of this podcast, and not drag it out longer than it needs to be, because a lot of stuff happens, and you know, we got some stuff to get through. So just to recap, last week's episode, we ended on a cliffhanger where Tayshia had brought young Noah and the elegant Bennett in for a little two-on-one. I don't want to call it a date, because they do two-on-one dates throughout The Bachelor and Bachelorette. People were calling it a two-on-one date. This was not a two. This was like a two-on-one. I don't know, meeting. It was more like a deposition, really, than a date. Usually it's the two-on-one date is like two people you're torn between, or in some cases, two people who are fighting each other. They go on a date and one gets cut. This was just like, there's no date. One person's just going home because we're sick of your shit. So we were left hanging as to who she was going to pick. So the episode picks off with the other guys kind of all bickering in the room. And the only reason I mention this is because they're all like, oh, I don't know who she's going to pick, Noah or Bennett. Blah, blah. The only reason I mention this little scene is because all the guys are chiming in who they think it's going to be, or they want the drama to end, all this and that, except Ed. Ed is just in the background, just munching on grapes and not giving two fucks as to what anything is going on. And now, unfortunately, I don't mean unfortunately. Finally, I guess, Ed gets cut in this episode. He gets the inevitable axe that we all knew was coming. Like, we knew this from episode one. There was no way Ed was ever getting, you know, some kind of relationship with Tayshia. The fact that he made it this far is still one of the great modern mysteries of the world today, as to how Ed made it this far. It makes no sense. There seems to always be one kind of anomaly in the Bachelorette group, and you know, Bachelorette, and Ed is definitely that anomaly. But anyways, I think he kind of also knew he was on borrowed time, because he had virtually no impact this episode. I mean, the rose ceremony comes in like halfway through. But, I mean, like I said, this first scene, they're all, like, concerned. He's eating grapes, not giving a shit. He's like, I'm just here to make the most out of my buffet rights at the La Quinta before they take that away from me. Because that's the strongest relationship I got in the house right now, is that, oh, that buffet at the La Quinta. It is world class. So, anyways, yeah, I said I was gonna get to the meaty stuff, and I talk about Ed eating grapes for 30 minutes. This is off to a great start. Ed, by the way, the few times they do show in this episode were kind of funny. I think because he realized that he had no business being there and his time was up, he kind of just, like, I don't know, chilled out a little bit, and he was just kind of being a goofy dude. And, you know, I wish he had been this funny the whole time. I would have been rooting for him a little bit harder. And not they had that whole thing where he was like the Chasen's villain for, like, you know, 5 minutes, and then after that they just made him a dope because they're like, all right, Ed's not really villain material, I guess. And Jason's gone, so we're just gonna leave it at that. Ed, keep going back to eating your grapes, buddy. So then it cuts to Tayshia and Bennett and Noah, and it's, you know, the big dramatic 2-on-1 deposition, as I'm calling it, where she's going to decide to cut one of them right then and there. They played some scenes from like the previous episode. They picked up like 2 or 3 minutes before last week's episode actually ended, and then but where it actually the new the it ended where she's like, what's in the box? And the, of course we know the box is the gifts that Bennett got for Noah that were like super condescending. And everyone, I think all of Bachelor Nation kind of collectively decided that Bennett was like a psychopath at this point, and he's just talking like a serial killer. Like, really, you guys saw it. There were like memes where his face is photoshopped onto the cover of American Psycho. Why can't I think of that guy's name right now? Christian Bale in American Psycho. Yeah. And oddly enough, it looks like it could totally be that. It's not a far, like, him and Christian Bale kind of have like a similar face, you know, enough for it to work. And it I don't know if you haven't seen it, this whole bit is not gonna do anything for anyone, but anyways, yes, Bennett is a psycho is the bottom line. And he's like, oh, those are just some gifts I got for Noah. And she's just like, whatever, I'm not even gonna fucking bother because this is so childish. So she takes them back one-on-one, and so first she starts with Bennett, and her whole thing that bothers her is it's so weird. I don't know, the thing that bothered her was like weird in my mind. She was kind of mad at him for saying that Noah had zero chance of you know, being picked by Tayshia. She was mad at it, not because that's just like a shitty and immature thing to say to someone, to say you have zero chance. She wasn't, you know, and the fact that it's just rude and condescending, like they were saying. She was mad because him saying Noah has zero chance is basically saying that Tayshia is keeping you around, but she's not going to pick you. And that means you're questioning her integrity. Like, you're just keeping Noah around for fun, and you're not actually going to pick him, or you're keeping around to cause drama, and you're not actually going to pick him. And I don't know. It was weird. I was really confused by it. Why can't you just say, that's a stupid, shitty, childish thing to say? You know, they went into this whole thing about questioning my integrity, and I don't know. I just thought it was a weird thing to, like, be, like, so upset about. Like, no, I would just be like, no, you just shouldn't tell people, like, rude, condescending shit like that. Not this whole, you know, quash about integrity. And for those of you wondering, no, quash is not a word, all right? I don't know what word I was trying to find there, but we're just gonna move on. We'll just edit out in the post edit and edit it, or just post. We'll edit it in post, and it'll be gone. This whole segment will be gone. These 45 seconds of useless tape will not make it to the final cut. So then she meets with Noah, and he basically says, like, hey, he's being really condescending. He got me. I forgot to mention, Bennett even mentioned during his, you know, explanation, the part about him being deficient in 3 of the 4 emotional categories and da da da. It's just like, no one talks like this, dude. I get that. You went to Harvard and you're bougie and you're, you know, rich as fuck, but like, you can be all those things and still talk like a normal human being. He's like, he's deficient in three of the four. I am sufficient in all of them. And I went to Harvard and can't spell pony. So you should pick me. Okay. So she's with Noah. And like I said, Noah's basically like, he's being real mean to me all the time, pretty much for no reason. He's being real condescending. He got me this book on emotional deficiency. Do I need to keep going on about how this guy is Norman Bates? Because there's really nothing much else to say other than he is completely psychotic. Also, Noah says, like, he was saying how, you know, Ben has been teasing me and all kind of being all condescending and stuff. And then in his little side interview, he's like, man, I didn't mean to get all emotional. I don't even know where that came from. And I'm just like, when did you get emotional? Like, he wasn't, like, I don't know. I don't know why I said that. Him being emotional, it was, like, non-existent. He wasn't, like, tearing up or saying anything real or whatever. He's just like, Ben's making fun of me. Damn, dog, that was pretty emotional, wasn't it? I think, like, I don't know. He's just, everyone's getting emotional this late in the game. You know, and so he's just trying to convince, like, yeah, me too. Me too. So then Tayshia needs, like, a little moment to collect her thoughts and gather who she's going to decide to send home. And the other two continue to kind of take jabs at each other. Mostly Bennett. Bennett just, ugh. I had such high hopes for Bennett. He seemed, I talked about it a little bit before. He seemed like there was something there. He was kind of funny, had a little sense of humor, but then, like, his pettiness is just, like, through the roof. It's like, it's on another level of petty. To be, you know, his age with his success, and then let this 25-year-old shake him up so much to the point where he feels like he just has to, like, degrade him down. I saw a lot of people throwing out that he was, like, just total mean girlsing him this entire time, which is exactly what he's doing. Just going out of his way to be mean to Noah for the most petty reasons in the house. Noah's like, I get that, like, you have a higher IQ or you're smarter, but, like, you have no emotional awareness. And he's like, you don't think that I'm aware that I am smarter than everyone in this house? Oh, I am well aware of that, my friend. And at this point, we're just like, we've been done with Bennett at this point for a while now. So Tayshia comes out, and the short of it is that she lets go of Bennett, she cuts him, and she keeps Noah. She doesn't give Noah a rose, though, and we'll get to that in a second, but she cuts Bennett, and, you know, in classic psychopath fashion, he, you know, cannot compute what just happened, but he gets cut and sent home, and he's in shock, and, you know, I think it's because he, you know, he's a psychopath, and psychopaths don't have empathy and can't relate to normal humans, and so he can't understand why he's being cut for the reasons he's being cut. It does not compute for him. And at that point, Tayshia goes back to Noah, and they show Noah right before Noah. I'm a little annoyed at him. I am at his immaturity in between the lines. You know, he can try and come off as, you know, just being like a normal guy, and he's, you know, wanting to get to know Tayshia. But, like, if you read between the lines of all his little actions and all his little words, he's pretty fucking annoying. So he slams down like a mouthful of Tic Tacs, and he's just smiling. He's got this shit eating grin on his face, and I'm like, dude, if you don't sit your little tic-tac eating ass down somewhere, this isn't the time to be celebrating. And that was only you know, confirmed when Tayshia comes in. He's smiling and, like, has his arms open, like, ah, come here, girl, you know you cut the right one. And she's like, no, don't don't fucking even get excited, right? This is not this is not a victory. Don't celebrate. Get your little Tic Tacs out of here, little boy. And you know, have some humility. The fact that he completely did not read the room and just like play it cool. That's the thing. He can't just like play certain situations cool. He feels like he's always got to be front and center of attention. He's always got to be saying something. He's always got to be, you know, the feeling like he's the best or on top of the world. You know, just beat Bennett in the 2-on-1 date. Like, no, read the room, bro. This is not the time to be celebrating and all that. So no, she doesn't give him a rose. This was not your typical 2-on-1 date where one of them gets the rose. She took it and she's like, look, he's gone, but you're not getting this. All right. You can fucking hang around. Your buffet rights will be here another little while longer. But, you know, you are not getting a free pass by any means. That is not what's happening. Now go wipe that shit eating grin on your face. Go into the back of the buffet line and get out of my sight. She said, I guess I'll see you later, I guess. It was weird. It was strange. But at any rate, pretty much after that, Noah rejoins the guys. And shortly thereafter, they have another rose ceremony. I think it was like the third rose ceremony that Tayshia has had. And the main takeaway from this rose ceremony is one, Noah is still around. Noah got the last rose. I saw that coming a mile away. He's going to get the last rose, of course. And then the people who went were Ed, Damar, and Spencer, which I was like a teensy bit surprised. I feel like I thought she liked Spencer. They had that connection like the first day that he showed up. I knew it was between him and Blake, who's got you know, big face Canadian Blake. There's nothing there. He's obviously next on the chopping block. I figured she might have kept Spencer around for a little bit longer, though. I knew Damar and Ed were out. They were just, you know, there was nothing there. Ed knew that his buffet rights were coming to a close. And Damar, I think, if you added up all his FaceTime throughout the entire season, added up to about 48 seconds. So, you know, he was just a body to take up space, basically, during the season, unfortunately. Seemed like a nice guy, but he was pretty much just a non-factor throughout the entire, through Claire and through Tayshia. So, yeah, Blake got a rose. Spencer went home. So, except for Noah, all the new guys are gone. And I made a note here that when it got down to the last rose, JoJo didn't come in and say, gentlemen, there's only one more rose. Tayshia, when you're ready. And which I always thought was a completely useless fucking thing. Chris Harrison would come in, guys, there's one more rose left. Tayshia, when you're ready. It's like, okay, she would have fucking done that if you just didn't say anything. Obviously, it's the last rose. What kind of dramatic suspense are you building by having Chris Harrison come in here and announce it? It was always a bit necessary, and maybe that's how JoJo felt too. So maybe from here on out they won't do it, because I always thought it was really stupid. Just building dramatic scenes where there really was none to be made. So it's the next day, and there are 7 guys left, and next week is the hometown date week. So, which means there's going to be 3 more cuts. I like knowing that. It's like the one week we actually know. I don't know if it's always the same amount of people that leave, and I just am not privy to the formula. But I know that hometown dates only goes to top 4. So they are definitely cutting three people this week, and Ben gets the first one-on-one date. So they meet up with JoJo, and JoJo's like, I've got a special date planned out for you guys. You're going to be going around the resort and looking for clues and solving a mystery, and there'll be a prize at the end. And I'm like, this is just the fucking haunted trail date in the daytime. All right. You're not fooling anyone. You repackaged Easy's date and then made it in the daytime and then said, hey, we got this great date idea. Like, who the fuck do you think you're fooling? I get it. You know, you're stuck at the La Quinta and you're running out of shit to do and you can't go anywhere else. But I mean, come on. This is blatant plagiarism of Easy's date. So they go and they're just, I don't, it's so dumb. Like, beyond dumb. They're on little scooters, and they get, like, a clue where they have to go, and the first clue tells them to go to the tennis court, and they get to the tennis court, and there's a blow-up pool full of tennis balls. Now, obviously, the next clue is in there. That blow-up pool has no business being on the tennis court. And they start searching through it, and there's, like, there's no way it's in there, is it? And they start digging through, and Ben's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna just tip this shit over and we'll find it. And of course it was in there. I'm just, the whole time, I'm just thinking to myself, you really couldn't just, you know, dig a little bit inside of that pool. It couldn't have been that hard to find. And someone at the La Quinta Resort has got to pick up all these tennis balls you just sprawled all over the court for no apparent reason. I mean, this is just disgraceful. And then the big surprise at the end was that they ended at the La Quinta Resort and Spa. That's it. And it didn't even show them, like, enjoying it. They were just, like, outside. Just, you know, in the waiting room or whatever. It was, these dates are getting desperate, y'all. And they they weren't doing anything. It was just stupid. Oh, and there's going to be a big surprise. You're going to want to. It's so dumb. So then after the big surprise of hanging out outside the resort and spa patio, they go to dinner. And everyone knows that dinner time is where, like, the fucking tea gets spilled. All right. It's where all the secrets come out. It's where, you know, your deepest, darkest shit is going to get spilled for national television. That's just how it works, you know? There's no, like, getting to know the person on, like, a sub, you know, there's, like, surface level stuff that's, like, physical. Then there's, like, you know, what's your favorite color? And then there's, like, you know, what's your favorite movie? And then, like, 27 layers below that, it's, like, the shit you don't want anyone to know ever. Well, the Bachelorette and the Bachelor are here to get to that 27th layer buried deep beneath your soul right away. Because that's just how the way things work. So Tayshia's talking to Ben. She's like, you're not opening up. Like, I just, I like you, but I feel like you're just, like, you're holding back. And he's just like, I'm not holding back. He's like, no, you just seem like you're way too perfect. And he's like, I'm not perfect. I might come off like that, but I'm not perfect. She's just like, well, I can't get to know you if you don't tell me your deepest, darkest secret that you wouldn't want millions of people of knowing. That's just the way, I just can't, you know, get to know you if you don't tell me that immediately. Like, I hate that they make people do this. It's like, The Bachelorette and Bachelor are always trying to outdo themselves and, like, make it the most dramatic thing ever and make it seem like they have all these people on here that have these, like, these dark backstories and they're so interesting. And I feel like it didn't used to be like that. It didn't used to be like, if you go back to Bachelors in the past, like, yeah, you know, every once in a while someone's got, you know, some crazy shit that eventually came up. But, like, I think, you know, especially going back to like the, you know, whatever it was, like the early 2000s or late 90s, whatever the hell this shit started, you know, people just got to know people like, you know, oh, how, you know, where are you from? What's your family like? You know, what do you read books? Are you into hiking? Do you do play sports? It wasn't just like jump right into, you know, tell me the darkest thing you've ever experienced in your life. How did that make you feel? How did you deal with it? How did you overcome that? Are you still dealing with it? How many drug addictions do you have? How many people have you murdered? You know, the whole, at some point, the ratings must have started to dip in the Bachelorette and Bachelor franchise. And they're like, well, we just got to fucking, you know, get people to admit all their crazy shit and get this shit back on track because we are going in the tank, people. But anyways, yeah, Tayshia's basically saying, like, I can't get to know you if you don't tell me the most fucked up thing in your life. And she's kind of cold shouldering him, just being a little, you know, off-putting or whatever. So then he's like, fine, I'll spill the tea. And he gets into how he's really close with his sister, and he, at one point in his life, was very depressed, and on two separate occasions, tried to commit suicide, which is terrible. But the way Tayshia's eyes light up immediately is, it's just like, it almost concerning, because she's just like, yes, this is the fucking shit I've been waiting for. Tell me your dark secrets, Ben. Tell me them. I'm feeding off of your pain. Because she was just like completely just like closed off. Like, well, if you're not going to tell me some fucked up shit, then I don't even know why we're doing this. And then he goes on about, you know, these terrible things. And she's just like, oh my God, I'm getting all tingly in my giblets. you got any more? And then they, you know, finally they connect or whatever, and they go off into another concert for two. I like how, so they go, you know, they go and they're dancing, and there's this band playing, or some guy and his band, and they say Adam Hambrick, as if, is this just common knowledge? Is it common knowledge? I've never heard of Adam Hambrick in my life. The last time they did this was with Claire and Dale, I think, and there was some girl and some guy playing the electric piano, and they mentioned the name. I had no fucking clue who they were, and apparently they were, I think someone mentioned it, or I looked it up, or whatever. I guess they were, like, previous contestants on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. I don't know. Anyways, they say Adam Hambrick, like, and couldn't they be, like, you know, season 47 of The Bachelor, you know, whatever, just give it a little bit of context, not just like, oh yeah, you know, classic rock player Adam Hambrick, he's, you know, so, everyone knows who that guy is. And I have in my notes, first off, who the fuck is Adam Hambrick? Secondly, they played us a recording. The fucking shit that they played us was not live music. Like, maybe when they were filming, you know, that guy was playing live for Tayshia and Ben, but that was not a fucking live performance that they gave us, because you could tell. Live performances, especially with like an outdoor amp and guitar and all the setup, you can hear it, you know, if you can hear the breathing, you can hear every slightly imperfection. No, this was like a CD recording of this dude singing, and I'm just like, what the fuck happened? You brought this entire band out, made them quarantine for two fucking weeks, and just to do this 5 minute, not even 5 minutes, it was like a 45 second segment where they're playing their song, and you couldn't even pull off a decent live performance? Where the La Quinta not have an outlet for outside? What the fuck happened there? Adam Hambrick, I need answers. I need answers about this live performance that I was robbed of. After Ben's date, then we go to the group date, and they're gonna do a polygraph test for all the guys. And which sounds cool in theory, but let me tell you, when they walk in there, that was not a fucking polygraph. All right, let me just tell you, that is not what they look like. That is not how they are fucking operated. I mean, I'm not like a polygraph. I don't know what the fuck person you call them. I don't know anything about them, but I've seen real polygraph tests. I'll admit, I don't know jack shit about polygraph tests. I've seen a few. I've seen them in settings that were much more realistic than the fucking Bachelor. All I know is polygraph tests do not have three fucking lights that tell you hot, medium, or cold, wherever the hell they were supposed to do. Like, yes, no, and maybe. That is not how, like, first off, there's, like, a trained person who can read a polygraph test, and the little fucking up and downy lines, they know what all that shit means. They know that that's your heart rate and your sweat and your nervous system. Like, they're trained to read this thing. So the fact that that got replaced with a light bulb is astounding to me. So, like, this was Bennett in the background pressing which light bulb he wanted to pop up at whatever time he felt was right. No, but seriously, this was the fakest fucking polygraph I'd ever seen. I was dumbfounded when they thought that they could trick us into thinking this was a real ass lie detector. Because, like I said, like, you need to, for a polygraph to work, they need to give you, like three or four or five, or however many questions it is, where they ask you questions you know 100% the right answer, and you're not going to lie. They say, like, what's your name? Like, are you white? Are you black? Do you have shoes on? You know, easy questions that, you know, you just answer, like, no problem. And then they ask you the real question. So so it's like the baseline of, and then they have the graph and shit, and the guy who it's his fucking job to read lie detectors is looking at all your vitals and sees how you answer, and then compares them when you ask a real question that you want to know to how you answered in the baseline questions. They didn't do any of that. At one point they mentioned it, but then they didn't do it. So, I don't know. I'm not really even going to go into, like, the questions they asked around, because they were all, they all ended up being pretty fucking stupid. There was one where Riley was asked his name, and he got it wrong. And then, that's not his real name. Whatever. They fucking knew that shit. That was the fakest fucking polygraph machine I ever seen in my life. And, I don't buy the whole fucking thing they did with that. Later in the I'll get to what Zach said, because on the previews, previews for next week, they were saying how Zach, during his polygraph test, she asked, "Have you ever cheated on a girl?" And he said, "Yes," and everyone's like freaking out. Whoop. They go to the cocktail party, and she brings up Zach, and she's like, "I won't," you know, or she pulls him aside. He's like, "Look, I want to pull you aside because I won't put up with a fucking cheater. That's what ruined my marriage, and I'm not fucking dealing with it. Like, once a cheater, always a cheater. So, you know, whatever." He's like, "Can I explain?" She's like, "All right, fucking please do." Then he went on this story about how it was him and his first girlfriend he was in love with, and how he made out with some other girl, and it was in sixth grade, and it was at a bowling place, and I totally got you. And I'm just like, there's, all right, first off, fucking no, you definitely cheated on someone. I'm sorry, but you definitely did. There is no doubt in my mind that Ben definitely fucking cheated at some point in his life. All right, between the drug addiction and the alcohol addiction and the rehab and the fucking DUIs, I guarantee there was a little side hustle, if you know what I mean, going on in his life at some point. There, that whole sixth grade story, that might have happened, but that was a big fucking cover-up for getting out of the polygraph there. That was the fucking... I didn't buy that shit for a second. And second off, there's no way Tayshia would be so fucking cool. Like, oh my god, that's so hilarious. Wow, you really got me. No, that... If... Say, first off, I don't believe that he didn't cheat on someone. I said that. But even if he didn't, this is not so... He's like, oh, I was just nervous because I was in the polygraph and I wanted to be truthful. I didn't want to get a buzz. So I just... This is my cheating story. Like, that's not... No, this isn't like some cute little fucking thing to do. Like, you thought this was going to be hilarious later. If Tayshia was real, she'd be like, that's the fucking stupidest thing I've ever heard. And you're a fucking idiot. And you should just pack up right now. Because that wasn't funny. That wasn't funny to me. You don't say you cheated on someone just to like, you know, have this grand reveal that it was. No, we weren't playing like that. I was about ready to fucking kick you in the nuts. Now I still kind of want to kick you in the nuts. Yeah, that whole scene. The way they fucking played it on the commercial, they made it this big, they advertised the fuck out of it. I mean, they spliced it up perfectly. It was like, boom, polygraph test. Boom, have you ever cheated, Ben? Yes. Boom, Tayshia, I don't deal with cheaters. Boom. And then they cut to like something that has nothing to do with that scene where it's her going, oh my god, I don't know what to do. What the hell's going on? It's just like, you motherfuckers. They do this every week. Most of the time I can catch it and call them for bullshit. You know, where they over-dramatize and overhype something up that usually ends up not being a big deal at all. I've said that before in earlier episodes where the previews will hype up some shit even within its own episode. It'll be like, stay tuned after the commercial break, some crazy shit's going down, and then it turns out to be nothing. It's all fancy editing. This time, I was really hoping, I was like, alright, Ben, fucking, it's doghouse time, I'm ready to see this shit, and then it turned out to be this, and I was like, come on, you want your show to be so fucking dramatic, and like, crazy, and, you know, just bat shit out of this world, and then you do this shit where it's just, you know, fucking kids in the fucking playground. I was pissed off. I was pissed off that Ben didn't reveal he was this cheating fucking scum, which I still believe he is. And they turned it into this little sissy fucking playground story. You know what? This is why you don't watch the fucking previews. And you don't listen to when they say it's the most dramatic season ever. And you know what? You don't watch the show. Watch something else. This is my podcast about a show telling you to watch something fucking else because this shit is a waste of time. But yeah. Anyways, what else do we got here? So she's making her rounds, making her way downtown, walking fast through all these guys. So there's five guys on the date. She's bringing it all in, getting ready to hand out the old group date rose, and she's like, I don't think one conversation was better than the other. Y'all guys had some pretty good tea to spill. I'm not gonna say one was better than the other. I really can't give this rose out to anyone. It's a five-way tie. How can I choose a guy right now when I'm falling in love with all five of you? Blah, sorry, see you at the rose ceremony. And, you know, to no surprise, the guys were not thrilled. I think one of them wanted it. And she basically said, I don't like any of you better than the next guy. And Noah's in the mix, so, you know, you should feel shitty about yourself. Just saying. Then we get we're at the end of the episode here. And she's walking out, and she's walking out of some gate or something, some door. I forget what it was. She's leaving whatever area she's in, and then boom, Bennett shows up, and she's like, "Hi, Tayshia," and she's like, "Oh my fucking god!" And I have expected Bennett to be wearing, you know, a rain poncho and an axe because, you know, that's just where his storyline is going. And yeah, in my mind, I'm thinking, like, how the fuck did this guy escape the SUV? That thing is taking him to the airport. How does he convince the producers to, like, turn around? He obviously had to have murdered the fucking driver. That's the only explanation. But, okay, so yeah, so he shows up, and, he's like, it's so nice to see you, and he's got this just fucking big grin on his face. I already said shit-eating grin. This isn't a shit-eating grin. This is a, I'm on my murder spree feeling good grin. And she's like, he's like, it's nice to see you. And you know, as a victim would in any situation who didn't want to get stabbed to death, she says, it's nice to see you too. And he asks if he can go back and talk with her. And he's just talking like he's on cloud fucking nine. Like, oh, yeah. She's like, well, all right, let's go this way. She's like, oh, yes, please do. You look beautiful. Wow, what a dress. Oh, you're stunning. And everyone is like panicking. I think, you know, the camera guy, hopefully he signaled to, like, you know, have security come in and make sure that he didn't dismember the bachelorette on site. But yeah, they go back to Tayshia's resort or whatever it is, her Presidente suite, and he basically says, I love you and I don't like how this ended, and please let me stay. And I'm just thinking, like, do the rules, I mean, I already went into exclusive detail with Claire that the rules don't fucking apply, but do the rules not fucking apply? This is, rules are rules. You cut someone, they leave. Like, that's just how it goes. That's the rule. It's not like in football, you can just, you know, be winning, and then they call the game clocks out, and then they say, hey, can we have 5 more minutes? And then the fucking refs go, yeah, you can have 5 more minutes. Fucking try and win this shit. That's not how it works. And that shouldn't be how it works on The Bachelorette. You get cut, you go home. Who in that fucking SUV thought it was a good idea to turn around and see this shit through? What'd they do? They drive him to the end of the driveway and we'll be like, you know what? We already paid for his fucking COVID test. He's already quarantined. We can save some money and increase the drama if we just turn around right now. It's fucking ridiculous. Like, this, when they say most shocking season ever, they're just breaking their own rules at this point to increase the drama. Next week, you know, guys, or next week, next season, people are just gonna be getting cut at rose ceremony and then just hang out. Be like, you know, fuck, I'm not even getting in the SUV. We can save on gas. If I can just tell them to turn around and let me back in, I'm not going. I'm getting me in mind. The rules don't matter, and you can just do what you want. And that's just totally fine. Because, you know, he had to talk to the producers or the SUV driver or whoever and be like, yo, turn around. Can I turn around? And we can try and do it and get her to take me back. And at some point, you know, one of the producers had to be like, you know what? It's a good fucking idea. Let's let him do it, folks. So yeah, the show kind of ends on a cliffhanger where she's like, can you just go and I'll think about it. And he's like, yeah, sure. Perfect. Yeah, think about it. And I'm just wondering, like, did his, so what does this mean for Bennett? Does he have to go home, or is his buffet card getting renewed for an extra night? What's going on here? Is he just gonna, I need answers. Oh, but yeah, that's pretty much the episode. We went a little longer than I thought we would, but also cut it a little bit shorter than most episodes. We're gonna be back here on Monday, well, I'll be recording it Monday, so the next episode will be out Tuesday morning, folks. Check it, mark it in your calendar. We will be having the next episode of the Bro Ceremony on Tuesday because they're having a double header, so we'll have 2 episodes out for you. We'll have one on Tuesday and then another one out on Wednesday. Double header Bro Ceremony, all right? Be sure to check it out. Once again, be sure to follow, like, subscribe, on whatever streaming platform you're using. Follow me on the Bro Ceremony, or follow me at the Bro Ceremony on Instagram, and we will see you next time, Tuesday. Be there. Yes. Bro Ceremony out. I need a catch line. I don't have one yet. Good night, or good morning, good afternoon, whatever you're... I'll catch you later. All right. Thanks, guys.